Welcome to Convergence Podcast, brought to you by the IRA Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU.
Welcome to the Convergence Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Smith, Director of Marketing Communications for the Fulton Schools. And our guest today comes to us by way of growing up in southeastern Washington, then Washington State, Stanford, appointments in Japan and France, and has been at ASU for about 13 years, five as Dean of the Engineering School. So Kyle, 5 years as Dean is long enough to think you've seen most of everything that could happen or most of those things, but now this. So we know you're busy helping the nation's largest, most comprehensive engineering school react and evolve. So we appreciate your time today and talking to faculty and staff. So welcome.
Well, thanks. And it is true, about 5 years in the dean's chair. I did show up at ASU in 1997, so it's a little bit more than 13 years, but it's among friends. We're good.
Well, let's just jump right into it. I know people are interested to hear and hear your perspectives about things. So it's a very unusual time where a lot of personal life issues are colliding with work and professional life. How are you doing personally? What's life like for you? And then I guess at a bigger level, what is life like at Fulton Schools in your assessment at this point?
Well, I think, you know, to say that it's unprecedented or extremely challenging, you know, those sound like really trite characterizations because, I mean, the crisis is significant. It's in the phase we read about it, you know, so-called exponential growth, which is true. And, you know, from a modeling perspective, that's what happens when systems are headed towards, you know, sort of a nonlinear breakdown of sorts. And when you think about a pandemic, what does that mean? There's epidemiologists and people who study those things, and they'll work through those scenarios. So what do? Right? Well, we focus on what we have in front of us, which has been this week, all hands on deck, all leaning in, getting our programs delivered, you know, in these remotely delivered fashions. Helping the faculty, assisting the students, you know, working with the staff. It's been the most incredible week of my entire career, bar none.
And how is your family doing?
Like everyone, you know, they feel unsettled, uncertain. Routines have been flipped over. And that's all the way from, you know, the experience that when you shop is different, you know, you used to go to yoga, that's closed now. All those things are different, and it's true for everybody.
Well, you're starting to touch on it. What do you want people to know most about our situation? And what can we be learning or gaining or evolving in this time? What do you want people to know?
So I think among the most important things to know is that we will continue to adapt. And, you know, the major adaptation was last week when the university announced we'd go to an online format, you know, remotely delivered, as it's been phrased. But that adaptation will be continuous. And we think about, you know, adapting in terms of support for students, for the faculty, for staff, how the university is functioning. And viewed that way, you know, we're going to end up fine, frankly. Okay. But along the way, it's hard. It's often uncertain. You know, you'll try something, you'll realize that wasn't necessarily the right step. You'll pull back, you'll pivot, but we will do that constantly.
So how is Fulton Schools doing relating to moving online? What are the issues that we're still having late in week one?
So I think a lot of it is what you might expect when you go to a brand new modality sort of midstream. Some of it will just be, you know, glitches with Zoom, you know, things as insignificant, frankly, as someone's trying to click into the Zoom room that you have and it creates an interruption. Those are obviously easily fixed. The other things that, you know, we'll come to grips with as we just move along are getting faculty accustomed to using this in the best possible way. Having said that, it's impressive. I mean, it is impressive. You've heard that messaging from Michael, from the provost. The faculty have stepped up. And if we continue to do that, we, again, will end up in a good spot.
So something that's been mentioned a lot in leadership meetings has been labs continuing to be a topic of conversation. What are the challenges there and what is the status? What still needs to be done when it comes to a lab setting?
Well, you know, when labs, they embody a lot of the hands-on experiences that you have in a program. And oftentimes, you know, part of a process, an experiment is actually, you know, making the measurement. And we recognize that. So now in these very, very unusual circumstances, what we continue to go back and ask the programs and the faculty to assess okay, what are the learning outcomes? What are the outcomes that you're trying to achieve through this particular set of experiences? And what are the other ways that we can do that? And, you know, the ideas are becoming more and more creative, and that will just be something that we have to continue to do.
So just looking into your crystal ball here a little bit, what will the world look like when this is all over?
Well, I think it will be various phases. And if you think, you know, when you're, say, all the way across, that is, whatever the new normal looks like, and maybe the new normal will look like the way the world looked back in the fall, right, before the virus really began to take hold. If that's the case, then we'll be way better for it, right, because of all the innovations and the experiences that, we've had. If we're something that's in between, and that's another scenario that people think about, you know, part of our ability to adapt will be how we always operate. And it may sound somewhat, you know, at times hyperbolic. At ASU, we talk about we're number one in innovation and so forth, but that spirit has to run through what we do. So I really do think about a lot of these innovations that we're seeing deployed as people are using Zoom to deliver their programs and their courses. We have to tap into that long term, not just as something that got us through the spring semester, but how do we capitalize on it? Because there are a ton of good ideas being deployed right now.
Yeah, that's true. Like within all the folds of what is happening now is that learning and those improvements for the future, no matter what it holds. You know, with that said, change, evolution is hard for many people, right? Like it's almost human nature to want to be a certain way. So do you have an approach or advice for those in a role where staff, faculty that is shifting or projects are changing or scope of work is changing or expanding than what it was a week or two ago?
So I think some of the big things to keep in mind are have faith and trust in your colleagues. Anytime that you change the way that something's being done, and that can be all the way from how the staff are accomplishing their jobs, how the faculty are teaching, you know, how the students are meeting a course outcome, that's going to introduce uncertainty. There'll be some missteps along the way. That's okay, right? But you're learning and you're pivoting. And you're moving forward in a way that really does help you get the best possible result. And to do that, though, please have faith and trust in your colleagues. And if you do that, again, we will be fine.
So here's a little bit more of a nitty-gritty question, like that's hard to ignore because it's on a lot of Zoom screens and different things like that. But childcare has become an issue that's front and center in how we operate. Any thoughts on how that relates to what we do moving forward through this whole thing?
So it's complicated. And like you say, it's among, you know, other similar issues. And so specifically, when we think about, you know, staff that are working in remote settings, if there are childcare situations at home that they're having to attend to themselves, it's going to complicate, you know, their ability to get their work done as efficiently as possible. It just is. So what those solutions look like, again, longer term, I just don't know, right? We know that the Arizona public schools are closed. We know that that's going to introduce a large disruption. Some schools are on break this week, and so, you know, parents are transitioning. But A, it's difficult. I don't know yet what the university's role will be to try to assist that, but that could be something that would be, you know, a real boon to our staff to help. And we want to help figure that out.
So as more testing comes into the marketplace or people prior to that feel like they're getting sick, whether it's a cold or COVID-19 or something else, advice to someone who feels like they are not feeling well.
So I think it's what you read. That is, if you're ill, go home. You know, monitor, that is, take care of yourself. If you start to exhibit symptoms, of course, you need to reach out to your healthcare provider. If all else fails, honestly, and it's, you know, here on campus and you begin to feel debilitated, go to Student Health Services. We'll take you there, okay, because we want to make sure that people are being taken care of. And I do think that, you know, if this takes hold in some of its, you know, more negative significant forms, how we interface with telemedicine and things like that when people are recovering at home as opposed to in the clinic or at the hospital. I mean, these are major unknowns right now. But right now, you know, take care of yourself, be seen, make it known that you're not feeling well if you're ill.
So you mentioned sort of campus health. What is campus services in your estimation for students? What is, we still have a presence of students on campus that we're responsible for, especially if they can't go somewhere else. What's your level of understanding or knowledge of what student life is looking like currently?
So it's an evolving process, frankly. Okay, I can give a specific example when you think about the library. And our libraries, you know, newly remodeled and all the rest of it, they have eight entrances. They're reduced now to one. They were 24/7. Now they have limited access. And all these things are done to maintain access so that students can take advantage of those resources, but do it in a safe way that we aren't endangering people's health so that the students feel safe and secure. And that will continue to be a process, frankly. Okay. I don't even know if the student fitness center is open. I somewhat suspect it's either closed or on very reduced hours, but it's the same idea, meaning restricting access in a way that is safe and still can benefit the students.
So I wanted to finish up with a bigger question as far as scope. And I think a lot of faculty staff might be feeling good now about working for a university that is a leader in online education and nationally, and really was able to pivot and shift. But ASU, like any other entity, is also a business. Is there any indicators of what this might do to our industry, higher ed, long-term, or ASU in the next year or two? It seems like from a marketing recruitment, like online education is something that is going to be bigger or heralded or pushed, and that might be a new reality, right?
Yeah, I think that some of what's happening as programs that have either had no or very light, if you will, online presence, this has really accelerated their thinking. And some of the outcomes of them doing that will be helping us understand that, you know, certain programs, indeed, there really is an opportunity for a fully online version of the program, and we need to push that. I think, though, even more broadly speaking, this is a very important time in this semester, wrapping up the current student body through graduation, if students are graduating, you know, or whatever the student is, wherever they are in their program. We want that experience to be top shelf. Some universities around the country are not going to do nearly as well, and they will probably be under really severe duress and distress. So we have a real opportunity to come out of this in a much stronger fashion. I mean it 1,000 times over. We're off to a really good start. Doesn't mean there's some gaps and opportunities to get better at. But whether it's how we go with programs online, it's how we innovate in really creative ways and meeting learning outcomes, those are the kinds of things that we really can tease out of what is, frankly, a very, very awful situation externally.
Any insights or thoughts or rumblings about what might happen with graduation or convocation? There's been some talk about looking for a virtual setting for that or delaying, allowing students to go through that ceremony at a later date to honor their process. Has that been a topic so far centrally, or do you see that coming into focus in the weeks to come?
So the university's stance in general, I think, is, you know, let's not make a decision about X until it's an appropriate moment in time to make that decision. And one of the reasons for that mindset is because when things are changing rapidly, the basis on which you made a decision yesterday, okay, well, that may be irrelevant in 30 hours. Certainly, I think there's a lot of brainstorming about what might be really appropriate, significant ways to honor graduates if it turns out not possible to meet, you know, in the stadium or in Wells Fargo or whatever the case. There's folks that spend all of their time working on that. We think, you know, in various terms about what we can do. We've benchmarked and we continue to look at what other universities around the country are doing, because some have announced that they will, you know, not meet in person for graduation ceremonies. What does that mean for us? We're working out what that could look like. Nothing set in stone at the moment.
So thank you. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Convergence podcast. We want to thank Dean Squires for coming in and sharing his thoughts. We'll look to get back in touch at an appropriate time in the future, but wanted to make sure we got some messaging out to faculty and staff here at Fulton Schools. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to Convergence, a podcast brought to you by the IRA Fulton Schools of Engineering at ASU.